Welcome, everybody, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. We're actually live here Sunday afternoon, May 29th. We don't say we're live. If you want to call us at 602-277-KFNX, you can, and we'll even answer the phones. I've got Ian and Nate both in the studio with me today. And, of course, Tracy's here backing us up on the soundboard.
What's up?
Unfortunately, this is our last show with Tracy. I'm sorry, Tracy. But unless you want to change shifts, we are
I'm going to start crying.
Yeah, we're changing to 7 p.m. For all future shows. So if you're a listener who's loved us, I hope you can love us till the wee hours of the evening. And that's basically because we're hoping it'll help us with our internet listeners who usually might be busy or in church or whatever they do Sunday afternoon. But Sunday night, maybe more likely to listen to this show. Unless, of course, they're 1 hour east of us and are watching Desperate Housewives. I don't know. Anyway, that's what we're doing. 7 p.m. from now on, 10 p.m. if you're on the East Coast. And, of course, that changes when our time zone thing changes because we don't have daylight time here. All right, so last week we ran out of time talking about all the stuff that happened at E3, all the hardware things. And so we're going to continue that this week. As usual, post-E3, there's not much else to talk about because they stopped talking about and announcing hardware or software. I mean, no new games are coming out. Very few, anyway. But Ian was at E3 with me.
Yep.
And he saw some games that maybe he'll want to recall. And that Nate missed out on it, and will have a lot of questions for us.
Yeah, exactly.
The show. Nate, really, he just got screwed and didn't get to go to the show.
Pretty much. Yeah. It would have been easier if you would have told me that I could have gone with you like 2 weeks earlier.
I didn't know. So many things change.
Yeah, I just got in because school, we had our game student program, and so they were like, yeah, head out. And
all right. So I'm going to repeat that number, 602-277-KFNX. And if you're online at chatterboxgameshow.com, we have an 800 number for you to call as well. Actually, it's an 866 number. Anyway, it's toll-free, and you can reach us anytime during the show. Last week, I asked the same question I'm going to ask this week. What future hardware are you most looking forward to? Or really, if there's something that you don't have now and you're thinking about getting, tell me why you want to get it. Because I sort of want to hear different viewpoints on what it is that's intriguing people about all the new features in the hardware. Because there are a bunch. And I'm going to start off with the newest thing that makes the PSP something that you can already buy. Possibly the next best thing on the block, at least for a bunch of people out there. So, do either of you guys have PSPs?
Nope.
No.
Still love my DS, but that's because I'm like, I guess a Nintendo fanboy, you could say. I don't know.
All right. Well, there are plenty of PSPs out there. And I have a very strong feeling that a whole bunch are going to start moving because it finally got completely hacksawed. For those who don't keep up with the times, a lot of video game systems you can hack in various ways to basically make you able to play stuff you're not supposed to play on it. And the PSP, when it was first released in Japan, had firmware version 1. That's usually where they start these days. Here in the U.S., if you got a system now and you go online, it'll update you to 1.51, and I think you start at like 1.5 or whatever. Point is that the old 1.0 software has a bunch of problems that Sony didn't fix, so people can get it to run software from the memory stick. So like they're running a lot of emulators, Neo Geo Pocket emulators, and TurboGrafx, and NES, and all that junk, which is great for people who love that sort of thing, even though
like
a lot
me.
Of people will tell you, yeah, that it's very illegal.
Not me.
No, I'm a big fan of emulators, and of course I own every game in the world, so I'm allowed to play them all on emulators.
Who doesn't? I mean,
course.
Really.
You should see the stacks in my room. Ceiling high.
I have a used store, a couple of them, around the city. Just
yeah, well, you know, I keep a box at your house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And a box in my bedroom in the living room.
Don't you have, like, a 10x10 U-Haul trailer?
Well, I have
place?
Separate off-site storage.
Oh, okay.
To keep it all, and it's air-conditioned, too, so everything stays cool and in good condition. So anyway, this 1.0 firmware has allowed people to develop a lot of stuff for the PSP, and what's just happened this past week or so is that people dumped the entire contents of real PSP games, not just emulators and stuff. So now, if you know what you're doing, you can go on the internet and download Need for Speed, whatever, or Lumines, or Smart Bomb, or whatever game you want, really. There are these groups of terrorist pirates roaming the world.
Evil.
Who download these things for your pleasure so that you can get them on your machine. And they say, according to the instructions when you download it, that I guess very soon, they say, a loader will be released so that you'll be able to run this thing, be able to put an entire game on like a gigabyte memory stick or something and run this loader, and it'll run the game from the memory stick. The loader hasn't been released. We don't know if it'll only work with the 1.0 firmware or if it'll work with any of them. Have no idea. I assume it'll start off working just with the 1.0, so anybody here will be screwed anyway. But they are going to have legitimate claims that just like running Xbox games from the hard drive, it won't suck the battery power of the PSP, right? And it'll probably run faster.
How is the battery power on the PSP? I heard it was not good, but maybe...
It's better than people originally thought.
Okay. But, which would be better than I originally thought.
Yeah, but they also, like, there's rumor that they underclock the system, that it's capable of, like, 330 megahertz, and they limit it to 220 because right now their battery, you know, can only last so long, and so they're making sure it lasts as long as possible.
Oh.
Later on, with newer batteries, they might be able to unlock it for full speed or when they need the games to look cooler, you know. Anyway, that's something I don't think we ever talked about on the show.
I have a question, though. How much is a Sony 1 gig memory stick?
Yeah.
On the internet, you can get it for $100. If you go to Best Buy right now, you're probably going to pay $170 or
so
something.
You're gonna download a game. You have to use a 1 gig memory stick to put a $50 game on there.
Yes.
Am I the only one catching that logic?
Well,
why wouldn't it be a good idea to try to pirate it?
Well, you can probably keep the games on your computer. I mean, if you are
downloading. Yeah, you can keep them on your hard drive, or you can keep them on a CD or whatever. Plus, most games aren't a gig, right? There's Lumines is only 200 megs and
okay.
Smart Bomb.
If you can get more on one, then it would make somewhat sense.
Yeah,
but...
and there are cards that are up to 4 gigs, but you know they just get cheaper every day. And the point is, a lot of people have them anyway, right? But you'll just be able to like. There are a lot of MP3 players now that have USB on the go, which means you can hook up another device to it, just like a computer. And there's actually one that's coming to America soon by some Korean company. It's called the Kowon 5 or something. And it's got USB on the go, as well as a bunch of other ones out there nowadays. And so it's got a 20 gig hard drive. You could put a bunch of PSP games on there and then not even have to carry around your laptop or desktop or whatever. Just link it up to the PSP, transfer over to the memory card, and bam, you have storage for them all. It'll take you about an hour to transfer it, but you can still do it. It's tried and true in theory.
I just like to see somebody do this. Just like, you know, I don't know, be on a bus or a plane or something, and just see them convert something just to play it for free.
Yeah, well, actually, the playing of today's games, you know, not so legitimate. It's a little bit upsetting that within only 2 months, they've already come up with a way to pirate the hell out of this thing. But using
a lot of time on their hands.
Using it for emulators... At least in the past, people were a lot more ready to rationalize playing games on emulators. Now that the Nintendo Revolution claims that it's going to let you play all the old Nintendo games on it, downloading them and paying for the rights for all of them, now it's not so legitimate, right? Because before, your complaint was, I can't go to a store and buy, you know, Solar Jetman for the NES. I can't get that, so I have to emulate it. I'm not given any other option. But now there's all these historical, like, Midway packs that you can get for the PS2, GameCube, and Xbox, or Atari packs, or Konami packs, or Namco packs of old games. And now Nintendo's, they claim anywhere they're going to release basically their whole library of games. So it's going to make it a lot harder for people to rationalize using emulators because there is a legitimate and inexpensive, supposedly inexpensive way to purchase these games.
Well, I don't see how they're going to do that if you're going to pay for them, how is it that... Are they going to go by era? Like, is Super Mario Brothers going to cost, you know, more than, say, like, you know, the Legend of Zelda on...
No, they haven't announced it at all. I assume that they're going to sell it in packs, because if you don't sell it in a pack, you're going to have to, you know, buy a game for 99 cents or whatever, and they're not going to feel that that's good enough for their... economically, it's just not going to make them enough money. So they're probably going to throw a bunch of crappy games in with a few good games, sell you 20 games at once, and charge you $20.
Yeah, but I would spend for, if I could get a good working copy on a portable system, I'd spend $10 for Super Mario Brother Classic, or like, and you
well,
have
they,
two or
three.
Well,
they already do that for the Game Boy SP.
For the Game Boy, yeah.
But they're charged $20 for it, and I don't know. I think what they should do is for $100, sell... a Nintendo Revolution DVD with every single NES game on it. And for every... Well, it would be only Nintendo branded, because I doubt they're going to get the rights to other games, right? But then, you know, for another $100, you get all the Super Nintendo games. They're probably going to do it with, like, genres. Or, I mean, they might do time packs, 1985 through 1987.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be, like, a cool gimmick I could see them doing.
But I guarantee it's going to come in packages. You're not going to buy the games individually. If you do, the price is going to be very inflated.
To drop $100 at one time for a bunch of old games.
Dude, think about it. To have a legitimate copy of, like, every Nintendo brand NES game?
No, I would do it, but I don't think there's too many people out there that would do it.
I think there's going to be a lot of people out there that are just like, so, okay, I got, you know, Mario Brothers and stuff like that, but I got golf, you know? I mean, I want to spend $100 for golf.
Now that I think about it, though, I don't think they will release them on actual discs because they have all this digital rights management they're talking about, right? So if I got it on disc, then I mean, I guess if it ran directly from the disc, you could do it, because then when I sell it to my buddy, I don't have the game anymore. But there's all this talk about downloading it over the net directly to the SD memory card that the Revolution uses, so that you can play it on there. It also has like half a gigabyte of flash RAM, so you can download directly to the system without an SD card and play all your emulated games. Anyway, overall, I'm happy they're doing it, because it's bringing back your retro without having to charge you $20 per Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, because there's so many people that haven't played old games. Yeah, people need to play these games.
One great thing I'm sure they're going to do, by the way, since the Nintendo DS can communicate with the Revolution, you're going to be able to link up and download not every NES game, because they're some of the newest ones were too big to fit in the flash ROM that exists in the DS, but most games, your Mario, Contra, Zelda, all that stuff will be able to fit on the DS. So, you know how you can download stuff? Like at E3, you could download DS games?
Yeah.
Right from the air?
A friend of mine still has Electroplankton on his DS.
There you go. And what, it's like 2 weeks later?
Yeah.
So you're going to be able to probably download the game to your Revolution and then transfer it to your DS to play portably until you take it out of sleep mode and turn it off. And that's, I think it's going to be a really interesting feature for a lot of people. What would be nice if you could download several games at once, but
That'd be cool.
There's limitations on size, and Nintendo will never release a writable cartridge. But there is a DS, or rather something compatible with the Game Boy Advance, where you can plug in an SD card and play music. And so they could probably do that, where you get a cartridge, plug in an SD card, just like, or just, you know, the SD card that fits in your Revolution. Plug that right into your Game Boy Advance compatible cartridge holder SD thing, and then hold a bunch of old Nintendo games and go play it on your Game Boy Advance, which would be a... We, in the car over here, were having a discussion about the utility of the Game Boy Micro. And I think that would be...
That's just so damn cute.
Yeah, if you get the SD adapter for the Game Boy Micro and put every NES game that you've downloaded over the net for the Revolution, that'll be great. Nintendo at your fingertips. Of course, you can already do it illegally on your Game Boy Advance, but we got to get going. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Give us a call, 602-277-KFNX. We'll be right back, folks.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Welcome back, Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, here live Sunday afternoon, May 29th. If you're listening, feel free to call in. We'll actually answer the phones. 602-277-KFNX.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, you'll answer the phones. Also, if you're on the internet listening, our website at chatterboxgameshow.com is there with all the info on how to call us toll-free from anywhere in the country. Want to remind everyone, from now on, after today, we will be on at 7 p.m., same day, different time. And, of course, I'll update the website to reflect all that stuff. In addition, if you're interested in getting into the video game industry, you really should check out uat.edu for the University of Advancing Technologies programs. They got a lot of stuff. A couple of the guys here go there.
Yep.
It's a good place to be
yes.
if you're into that sort of thing. And I hear rumor lately about a lot of people from that school getting actual jobs in actual companies
making actual
video games.
I was surprised myself.
Yeah. I certainly left that place and don't have a job with a video game company. But, you know, I have a job with the show. Yay. Yeah. So, what else do we get to talk about? Ian keeps reminding me that I need to...
Yeah, you were dishappy with Nintendo at E3.
Yeah.
And you haven't even told us.
Okay, well, people have been talking about it this past week, too. And I guess finally people are coming to their senses a bit and realizing what Nintendo's doing. But that's probably because Nintendo is finally talking a bit. Of course, I, in my infinite wisdom, had my own theories ahead of time. So here's what happened, in case you didn't hear Nate at E3. So I waited around for an hour in a huge huddling mass of people waiting for the Nintendo press conference to start. And finally it started, and they basically didn't say anything valuable. They came out of the gate screaming about Sony and how Sony's all about numbers and how Nintendo made way more money and their system's released in Europe already and blah, blah, blah. We've sold 2 billion video games since the dawn of time. And anyway, it was pretty much a useless self-pat on the back by Nintendo. Reggie did a fine job at telling us how cool they already were and that they didn't need to divulge any more information about their future systems. So what had already been published in USA Today was a picture of the next generation Nintendo, the Revolution system, which kind of pissed me off. And then we got into the show, the conference, and they said, this is just a prototype. And it was crazy because all it was a simple black box. So they brought out this black box with a few buttons on the front and said, this is a prototype of the Revolution, which is a complete waste of time. They
which
just wanted
very valuable information.
Yeah. Without actually saying anything, they wanted to make it look like they were saying at least a little something. And all they did say was that you'll be able to play downloaded games and that there's some memory on board the system so that you can download them straight to the system. And
could it be Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I mean, of course. But they've already talked about how everything's going to be totally Wi-Fi. And every company and their mother is talking about the importance of internet connection, which is funny because Nintendo still doesn't support it with their DS, which they could. I mean, they say they're going to by the end of the year, but that's another 6 months. And why wasn't it out of the box playing over my wireless infrastructure? Anyway, so the point is, they went the whole show. We're all excited to hear about the Revolution. And they said, hey, look, this is what it's not going to look like. Right?
Pretty much.
This is what we want to show you now just so that you don't yell at us. And
so the product, honestly.
Yeah, it's going to not be the same thing as what they showed. And they didn't tell us anything about the system. So who cares? It's like we didn't even have a press conference. And everybody was pissed off about this, including me, because it's one of the big things we're waiting for. Like, we already knew what Xbox was doing, what Microsoft was doing with their Xbox, rather, because they told us a few days earlier. We already knew that Sony was just making a really powerful system, and then they told us the numbers. Great. But Nintendo was the big variable, how they're doing this new thing with a crazy controller, and it's going to do all this new stuff, and they didn't tell us. And, of course, a little rest and time brings me to reason to realize that, of course, they're not going to tell us. They don't want to be one out of three. Right, they want to wait until Microsoft releases their system, and Sony is worrying, I guess, or not worrying from what they're saying in interviews lately. So when nobody is fighting anymore or in the midst of a fight, they're going to come out and say, hey, look, this is what we're going to do. And then Microsoft and Sony will both have their systems out by the middle of next year, and Nintendo will say, oh, you know what those systems can do? Yeah, they're more the same that you're used to, just a little bit prettier. Oh, well, we do this totally different thing. When the hype is all died down with these other systems, they'll come out and spill their beans, which makes a lot of sense. I give the analogy to a friend of mine recently, like, when you're playing Halo, right? You guys played Halo.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hope.
Who hasn't?
Yeah. You come to the annoying part of the game where not only are you fighting the bad guys, the Covenant, right? You're also fighting the Flood. And then you see the Flood fighting the Covenant, right? These two guys fighting each other. Why get in the middle? Let them kill each other, right?
Yeah, kind of like what? Like the original Doom, you'd do that too. Like you just kind of
let the bad guys fight each other. All right. So that's what Nintendo's doing. They're tipping their hat to the other guys. Sure, do your thing. You're great. Whoop-de-doo. Here's what we have when it's all said and done. When, you know, the smoke is cleared, they're going to release everything. Which, from a business standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. And now, in interviews, they're saying that they're going to let the other guys, you know, fight it out. They're totally different. They don't want to be in the middle of everything. And so I understand. I'm still pissed off. Because they created this expectation, or I guess they didn't. I guess I did, right? So it's my fault. I had this expectation.
I was expecting a lot from them, too, but I was not at the press conference because I wasn't allowed because my pass wouldn't let me.
Oh, you could have come in. Anyway, you had an exhibits only pass.
Yeah.
Wiener. All right. So anyway, that's my shindig on Nintendo. That
I guess I shouldn't talk.
That Nintendo is just leaving it, you know, till everybody's ready to hear their stuff, because that's when not only the fanboys will get excited, everyone else will be excited when they see that the Xbox isn't really anything that special. You get, okay, great, it has a dashboard and Microsoft Xbox Live, whoop-de-doo. They're going to be excited about the next Nintendo stuff. And I certainly am excited because I'm all ready for new experiences all the time. I'm the guy who has every peripheral for every system because, you know, shaking a maraca is more fun than tapping a controller. You just play computer games, so you don't care.
I do
all.
Have a GameCube. I'd like to say that, but yeah, I'm pretty much a PC guy myself. I'm really looking forward to Spore. That looked very interesting. Black and White 2.
People are all excited now because they got to see the presentation that some of us got to see at GDC. They finally released that to the public, so you can go, I guess, GDC TV, is that where you go?
Yeah, you can pretty much see everything that they have so far.
Yeah, all the videos of the presentations you can go see. The GDC presentations, I think GDCTV.com has released a lot of this stuff. So you can see the big presentation on Spore, which is really amazing. And Will Wright, you know, claims it could revolutionize or change, you know, the development cycle of gaming. It won't actually happen, but it's nice to dream. Did you see what's going on with Spore yet?
No, actually, I had just heard of this ad's name.
Well, we've talked about it a bit on the show, so I won't go into it too much. But basically, there's a whole lot of chatter from everybody in the industry that it's costing a lot to make games now. So basically, you have to be EA or you're not able to make a game because you can't hold your own against everybody else.
Yeah, fully aware of that.
And so Will Wright, who interestingly enough is on EA's payroll, comes out and makes this game, which is all procedural, which means that, you know, there's no art being created for the game. It's all done by the processor. Everything is done by the system, creating different patterns for, you know, fur, skin, or whatever these, you know, creatures are made of, right?
Yeah.
The whole game is procedural, and there's no predetermined art.
So what's the style of the game, anywho?
Oh, what's great about it is that it's...
Yeah, you're pretty much making life.
Yeah, like you start off in the ooze, you know?
Oh, yeah, because it's Will Wright, so it's not, like, action-based. It's
simulation, sort of
creation-based.
But it's a bunch of different style of games. Like, you start off as this thing rolling around, or swimming around in ooze, single-celled, whatever, and then you grow a bit, and you can eat some things in the ooze, and he says it's sort of like Pac-Man, because you're picking up pellets, and there's enemies and stuff. And then you can evolve your character and add legs and gills and whatever, right? So that it evolves, and then you end up getting on land, and then it becomes more of like an action game where you're defending yourself against other predators. And then you form into like a colony of these more evolved animals where they have, you know, traditions and ceremonies and
social
symbols
events
and tools and all this stuff. And from there you build more stuff and you end up eventually going into space and you can fight with aircraft or spacecraft. And then you can zoom out of just your planet and go to solar system and go to other planets, right? And then you can zoom out of that and go to different galaxies. And you can take, like, one animal that's created and all done through procedural evolution and stuff and take it to another planet and inject it on this planet. You can go to planets that have no life on it, start a volcano, emit an atmosphere, and make it livable so that you can then transport things to them and have their own evolution.
Well, you can also upload your character and it'll go to other people's
automatically
computer,
sends
which
you information.
Is very cool.
Yeah, you can download other people's games into yours and play with their civilization.
See how well their guy works with you.
There's the music. We gotta go, but we will be right back in a couple of minutes. There's a Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show on KFNX.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
Welcome back to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Nate and Ian are in the studio with me today.
Hello, everyone.
And
Hello.
Hopefully they'll be here in the future when we move to 7 p.m. Right now it's 1 p.m. Those on the East Coast will have a 10 p.m. show, at least until we change time. I guess until you guys change time and we stay still, at which point it'll be 9 p.m. on the East Coast and still 7 p.m. here in Arizona.
So it's confusing out here because we're like in the West Coast time and then
we're suddenly a mountain.
Mountain time.
Yeah, it's annoying, especially when you have a show that's, you know, you try to throw out there nationally for internet listeners who listen to ChatterboxGameShow.com. All right, so we've got a caller on the line. Let's go to her. Bobby?
Hello.
Hey there. What can I do for you?
Hi, gentlemen. I just skim around the periphery of all of this, and I find it very exciting, and like I know a lot of people who are immersed in gaming. My question is, what is the amount of money out in the market regarding gaming? You know, what kind of market share amount of money that we're talking about when we're talking about this business, this industry?
Well, it's
approximate.
I can come up with some numbers. First, though, I got to say it's hard to say market share because that implies like a percentage. And
correct.
How do you quantify the amount of money spent on entertainment in general?
Correct. Okay, I agree.
But according to the Entertainment Software Association, if you go to their website, it's TheESA, so TheESA.com.
Mm-hmm.
They have a facts and research page, and their top 10 industry facts. Number one says U.S. computer and video game software sales grew 4% in 2004, so that's last year, to $7.4 billion.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it says more than doubling of the industry software sales since 1996. And what you hear consistently these days is that video games are beating out Hollywood. I don't think that takes into account aftermarket Hollywood sales. Once the movies leave the cinema, they're selling DVDs and books and limited editions.
The offshoots off of the movie, right, the promotional.
Yeah.
Question then number two, where is most of this genius coming from? From this country? Where are the pockets of creativity and genius? Because I heard you saying something where the equipment's taken over and creating some of the innovativeness.
Well, it used to be pretty much just Japan. And then, I guess Atari started off early, years and years ago.
Correct.
Like 25 years
that.
Ago. And that completely bombed. And then everybody thought video games were just a fad that was done. But then Nintendo came on the scene along with Sega, and Japan was the big center of video gaming.
Okay.
But in the last, I would say, 5 or 10 years.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, 5 or 10 years, so much software has been coming out, entertainment software has been coming out of the U.S. Since the general software industry in the U.S. has absolutely exploded. Right.
Well, it tanked in one aspect, but a lot of that creativity is now going where the money is, and that's pretty cool. I just called a couple of 9-year-olds to listen to your 1100, which they never listen to AM, but your program is very innovative, and I enjoy it.
Well, thank you.
And that's all I wanted. You answered my question, and you gave me the website.
All right. Well, thank you very
thank
much.
You, sir.
And, of course,
bye-bye.
You can learn more about our show at chatterboxgameshow.com.
Gotcha.
Whenever
I'll
like.
Let them know that also.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. So if anybody else wants to call, 602-277-KFNX. I try to have all the answers and rarely do, but I guess lately I've been all right.
Not the answers. I think profit has been thrown around a couple times.
What answers? Profit? What are you talking about? Anyway, so that's a good question. Where is all the creativity? And to be honest, there's actually some of the most creative stuff comes out of Europe. Scotland has a collection of people. The people who make Grand Theft Auto are out of there. And at this point, I wouldn't say that's so creative, but they certainly evolved the industry where everybody's considering their games to be more like Grand Theft Auto because it would apply to so many different types of games, that style of openness. And so that's been appreciated by everybody who plays games, most people anyway. But basically, yeah, I'd definitely say it's Japan and the U.S. where it's split. But, I mean, that's not such shocking news.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up kind of during the early to late 80s and whatnot, like on the Apple II and stuff like that, a lot of the software for the computers. Like, I mean, they're computer games, but games nonetheless, a lot of those were in America.
Yeah. Well, because computing basically was coming out of – personal computing was coming out of the U.S.
Yeah.
And, of course, with Microsoft taking over the world and they're based in the U.S., obviously, that's, you know, helped the software industry here.
Yes.
Of course, now we're giving it to everybody else in the world and we'll have nothing to survive on here in the U.S. of A.
Yeah, aren't there quite a – like Korean companies making games and whatnot?
Yeah, they've been very much into the online games that,
yeah.
that Nate loves so much.
That's right.
Because
that's
right. they have, I think South Korea has like the best internet infrastructure in the world. Oh. So they're awfully into that internet stuff.
Well, I think one company over there is trying to break in with, I believe it's called Sun, an MMO.
I haven't heard of that. Is it NCSoft who's making it?
I don't want to say that because I'm not quite sure. I just kind of skimmed over it. It looked interesting, though.
All right. Well, you know me and MMOs. I couldn't, you know, care less. So
the only MMO I've ever liked and probably ever will like is World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I'm forced to pay attention simply because I do this show, but that's the part that hurts me. I got to sort of keep in touch with MMOs, but boy, do I not understand their success. Although, I read recently today that, I mean, would you call Second Life an MMO? I guess it is. It's massively multiplayer and it's online.
Yeah.
Right? So Second Life is a game where you can... You get this real estate, I guess. You get an area of the world, and you basically can do whatever you want. You can actually write games and stuff, so when people enter your area, they can play a game. And if they like your area in this world enough, and they like what you've done with it enough, they actually pay for it, the ability to, you know, trounce around in your part of the world, and you get paid for it. And there was one guy, if you go to joystick.com, that's joystick with a Q instead of a CK, I guess some guy makes $1,800 a month on
wow.
his game. And I remember I was at a Second Life party slash conference thing at the Game Developers Conference a few months ago. And there are quite a few people who make money off of this game. It says here, for some people, it's a job. Aileen Grafe, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, will earn $100,000 in her first year as a real estate magnate in Second Life. And so I love money just as much as the next guy, possibly a little bit more. And so I'm thinking Second Life would be a fun thing to do, but it's like I never get into these things on the ground level. I always found out about them later, and I'm not convinced I could do well.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There was one guy who apparently I know, I found out, but he dropped, I think, $26,000 to buy a virtual island.
You know that guy?
What? Yeah.
Okay, that's weird. Yeah, but we read about that. That was all over the video game news.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I don't know what he's going to do, but if
apparently,
it's not porn-related, I don't think he'll make money.
From what I've heard from him, he has made a profit on it, so...
That's amazing.
I mean, I'm amazed that he could make that so quickly. I thought that was, like, going to be years
yeah.
to see in the black, but...
It kind of bothers me that there's... With all the real-world economy that's coming out of these false-world economies of games...
Yeah.
Like, there are these people infiltrating it just for the financial aspect, and so gaming has sort of taken a turn. And we've talked about it before with Sony's new... auction system within their own games, their legitimized auctioning, it's going to make their games go for a nosedive. And
whether or not that's going to cause, like,
litigation.
Legal problems. And
yeah, up the wazoo.
Good
so,
times.
Well, they're trying to take, well, I mean, farming, you know, people hate those people. But, I mean, by banning them, they're kind of taking.
But Sony can't do that stuff anymore, man, because people are going to make money. And once they start making money, they'll have real reasons to sue companies that stop them
yeah.
from doing that. And Sony is sending themselves up a creek. But I don't know if they've actually put their auction system to work yet. I don't know if it's actually started.
I don't believe so yet. But
yeah.
again, they are talking about it's going to happen.
Maybe they'll come to their senses. I don't know. There's all right. What else did I have on my list to talk about? PS3.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that myself.
I don't know if the
PS2
interview was
better.
Ken Kutaragi, the PlayStation guy, or if it was somebody else. But it was some big Sony honcho. Who gave a fairly lengthy interview. God, I really should know this better. I can't remember where. I think I read it on GameSpot. Might have been at IGN. One of the big ones, right? And I'm sure everybody else has copied it anyway. He gave a big interview talking about the PS3, and a lot of different news places have covered it, so you can read it if you go to GameTab.com, where they cover a bunch of different news sites. He says the PS3 is not a game machine. And...
Oh.
He says, we started off with the PlayStation, and then the PlayStation 2, and finally the PS3 is what we've visioned
the
this whole time.
The last step, and it's an entertainment box.
Yeah. So he says, like, there's computers now, they're so general purpose, right, that you're getting a lot of multimedia functions out of them because they want to be
Well, they didn't have entertainment in mind when they were making them.
What?
That's what I read.
No, they didn't say it. I said they didn't have video games in mind, specifically. They never called the PS3 a video game machine. But, you know, if I remember correctly, that PS1 didn't do much else. It would play your audio CDs. I don't know too many people who hooked it up to their stereo to jam out to the latest Ace of Base album.
Whatever they were listening to.
Because I saw the sign.
Yeah. Obviously, the PlayStation was a video game machine. The PS2 was very much a video game machine. Oh, it played DVDs, too. But that's all it did, unless you bought the Linux kit. And then, still, you'd be better off with a computer. But they did call it a computer entertainment system with the PS2, so they were sort of transitioning from video game to computers. As far as I could tell, though, the only reason they did that was to avoid taxes in Europe. You might not know this, but in Europe, like, video game machines are taxed, but computers aren't. At least there's a particular tax that applies to video game machines and not computers. So when they shipped the PS2 to England specifically, and I think all of Europe, they included a Visual Basic disc so that you could write stuff in Visual Basic and use a USB keyboard, so that way it was a computer, not a video game machine, because you could program on it.
That's one way around it.
Anyway, we got to go for another break of commercials. We will be right back in just a couple minutes with the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
All right, we're back. Chatterbox Video Game Radio on the air live instead of completely recorded like all the other shows on the station because we're better than them. You can call us.
That mortgage guy, he does a fine job.
He does. It's an excellent show, I'm sure. At least we're here in the studio talking for real. I wonder when I'm going to get fired from this place because I rag on the other people. Tracy, does that happen a lot?
I don't care.
No, you don't.
I'm gone.
You're leaving anyway.
I'm gone.
All right, so give us a call at 602-277-KFNX if you have any questions about video game industry or want to talk about the new systems or whatever. Also, check out Chatterbox Game Show for all the updates on the show, like the fact that we're moving to 7 p.m., or to find our toll-free number to give us a call if you're not in Phoenix area. So we were just talking about the PS3 and all the entertainment stuff that it's going to be doing, and that they're claiming it's not a game machine, which everybody seems to say is complete bull, because it is.
It's PS3.
Yeah, I mean it.
Why would they name it something that's not a game machine, that everything else is a game machine is named?
You got to understand the steps that they were taking.
Yeah, they were transitioning, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So here's what it is. Ken Kutaragi, and the interview was on, it's on GameSpot, so you can go there and check it out, GameSpot.com. They say, Kutaragi gave one example of how the PS3's powerful calculation abilities and broadband network connection could be used for new and original entertainment endeavors. I want to break right here. They say the PS3's powerful calculation and broadband network connection. The PS3 has nothing to do with your broadband connection. It can connect to it, but it's your broadband connection. It's your connection that you're paying $50 a month for, and it's your connection that can go down at the drop of a hat, and it's your connection that you may not have bought in the first place. So without a hard drive, you're not going to be storing much content. But let's move on to the quote. Users will be able to store their content in an online storage server called the cell storage. This means you're going to be required to have an internet connection. The cell processor, when it's not being used, can refine the content's quality. We call it the aging process. For example,
Our videos are wine now, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. You can age your standard definition video and upconvert it to high definition video. They have many plans for the PS3, but this cell storage service is something that they definitely intend to launch. Complete bull. Sony has made so many promises in the past that they've never followed through with. Nobody except the Koreans have the internet backbone to handle this sort of thing. You can't, like Nate was saying, add pixels to your video content.
And not only that, if you're putting these videos on your cell, you know, space, and you say, okay, hey, let's all watch a movie, So I'm going to be streaming high definition?
Yeah, it's bull. Now, one thing you can do with a standard DVD player, right? A lot of DVD players are progressive scan nowadays. So they would upconvert this, or rather, like if you have a player that's not progressive scan and you put it into your HDTV, your HDTV or HD box or whatever can upconvert it to progressive scan. So you're watching progressive scan anyway. A lot of people don't even notice the difference, but it does look nicer. So I guess what they could do is take a standard video signal and make a progressive scan, but a DVD by nature, I mean, it's just the video content and it is progressive scan. So it has nothing to upconvert. And if they plan on upconverting it to high def, like you said, you're going to be screaming, screaming high def, and we don't, your internet connection cannot handle streaming high def.
I'm sure we all have a couple of T1s hooked up to the house, yeah, and it'll work fine. But I mean, there's going to be those few people who don't.
But there's also, I think, more than half the people who have these systems that don't have an internet connection at all, or don't have the hardware to connect it to the internet connection that they do have, or whose parents don't want them to connect to it because it'll steal their bandwidth for, you know, daddy looking at Lolita pictures. So there's a million reasons why this idea is dumb. And for him to say that it's going to be this media hub makes so many assumptions. Like, great, for the hardcore gamer who has his computer on a network, who has a lot of storage on his computer, or will probably end up having to pay for this online cell storage. I don't think it's going to be free. Maybe for that 1%, this is viable. But everybody else, they're getting it for games. And yeah, it's a game machine. So what they're saying is just, it's dumb. It's just flat out belittling us gamers who know better. But of course, we're all going to buy it anyway because it's going to make really good games.
Oh, I don't know about you.
and it has a great controller, which I'm saying.
Actually, I'm happy about the controller. No, the controller, Everybody loves the old PS2 ones, and I'm sure it's going to feel pretty much the same to you.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's got the same setup. It's just that it's got that weird...
The boomerang. Dude, yeah,
it's like a Sega controller, but like with really long
handles.
Let
me explain this move, all right? We had said this, I think, last week, that the controller was going to help with all sorts of adult purposes. But now they say it's full entertainment, right?
Yes.
It's going to be used for every form of entertainment in your household. So now, we've got collars. it's totally going to be that. They've got this controller that has these two long extensions that house the vibrating portions of the controller, right? If it has a vibration anyway, it's wireless, so who knows? But man, if those things don't look like adult toys. Anyway, it's crazy. So now it's going to be everybody's entertainment tool. Mom
entertainment
and,
in quotation marks.
Yeah, Aunt Flo is going to be using that thing nonstop. The kids are never going to be able to play. Luckily, it's got two screens, so she can route a screen up to her room.
Luckily, it's wireless. You know, you don't want to be doing that down in the living room.
Oh, I just don't understand. Tracy, do we have some callers who want to talk to us? No. People are just calling the station, don't want to actually talk to us. That's a bummer. All right. So anyway, I'm very excited about the PS3 and all the things it can do, but I don't think it's actually going to do what Kutaragi says it's going to do. At least it's not going to cater to the audience that he seems to think it will. Of course, Microsoft says their 360 is going to reach a billion people, and they're full of crap, too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't understand with all these cores that the 360 is going to have, you know, how they're going to – there's a random little error in it that'll just lock it up.
Well, I think what's going to probably happen is that they're going to be able to distribute – the processing to different ones. So you'll have like your processor that's working on physics or your processor that's working on whatever else.
Yeah, but those all have to be synced up.
I guess. Like, well, I said before, I don't know enough about the hardware.
Right,
Why do they have to be synced up? If you have one part of your processor working on this, or is it because normally you just lend a cycle to physics and then you lend a cycle to graphics and you lend a cycle to something else that it's automatically in sync because it's a single unit?
Well, usually you're just sending it to one processor, so it'll all be good. But if you're sending it off to, you know, like four or five or however many they have,
okay, I guess I understand.
These all have to be synced up. And see, the problem is, okay, let's say you have core A and core B.
Yeah.
Let's say core A is going faster than core B, so it says, you know, so B says, A, wait, I got to catch up.
Yeah.
But there can be a time when both A and B, for some random reason, will say wait at the same time, and boom, what happens?
I'm sure they have error correction for that sort of thing.
They do, but I'm just saying it is going to happen. I'm not going to say it's going to happen all the time, but it's going to be there.
I'm not too worried about it. I think you're being pessimistic.
Yeah, well, I'm very cynical, so.
I guess so. I'm not too worried about it, but that might just slow down the 100%, you know, theoretical efficiency of the system.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is that they say they have, like, all this power, but no game's ever going to be able to, you know, totally maximize.
Yeah. Well, this. Nobody thinks they're going to be working on a 9.6 gigahertz system when they run these 3.2s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nobody made that claim. That would be funny, though. Like, back in the day when they said you had a 64-bit system and it was 232s and, oh, we have a 9.6 gigahertz Xbox 360.
Wasn't there a system that did that?
The 232s equals 64?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Atari Jaguar, baby.
That's it.
Yeah. That was great. All right, so I've got another minute. There was one news bit that I just noticed today on Joystick. They were saying that they were reporting, you know, something that somebody else reported. But apparently two UMD movies, Resident Evil 2 and House of Flying Daggers, did you guys hear about this? Apparently they sold over 100,000 copies of each on UMD.
The ones for the PSP.
Yeah, yeah. That's what a UMD is.
Okay, yeah.
So
just checking.
Wow.
Is that unbelievable to you?
That's crazy.
Yeah, and what that means is UMD is a viable format, which is ridiculous. Especially, I haven't actually looked online for how much these things cost. I should have taken a minute to do that during the break. But I read somewhere someone was complaining that why do they cost more than DVDs? And the idea that a PSP movie would cost more than a DVD is absolutely ludicrous.
I love how on the end of the commercials now they say, coming Tuesday on DVD and
UMD.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and Paramount signed up to make movies for the UMDs now. It's, oh my God.
And
Bandai is smart. Bandai, who, you know, a lot of people in the U.S. don't even know who they are, but they do Power Rangers and a bunch of other stuff you might have heard of. They're releasing all of their stuff that they release in video, which basically means anime, on DVD with UMD packaged together. And I think it's like $30 for the package or something. That's a little bit more legit, considering you'd pay $20 or $24 for the DVD alone.
And Square Enix has been saying how they're going to be putting now I can't think of this, the Final Fantasy VII movie that I'm, the name is escaping me.
Advent Children.
Advent Children, yes. That's the one. That they were kind of making a big thing about they're putting that on the PSP.
Yeah, well.
Possibly first, I think.
I don't know about first, but no, it makes total sense. Of course they would. It looks really great, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really care for 7, personally. It was a thing about me, anyway. Yeah, but yeah, that's making me want to play 7 again, because it looks really good.
Yeah, I was never into Final Fantasy in general, because I'm not a role-playing guy, but
I like 6.
If you look at Square Enix release list, their upcoming games, everything is Final Fantasy 7.
Yeah.
They've got a cartoon, they've got a movie, they've got a new, like, mobile game and a PSP or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of mobile games they're making that are like, I wouldn't want to play, except for they made Final Fantasy 2, like, not like the Super Nintendo Final Fantasy 2, like the Famicom Final Fantasy 2.
All right, I don't understand what you're saying, but we're running out of time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We got to get going. Yeah, so we'll be back next week, but at 7 p.m. Check out chatterboxgameshow.com for all the info. We'll see you next week, guys.